this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
All right, guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. This is an Invest Buffalo Niagara podcast. My name is Greg Pokricki. Thank you, as always, to local Buffalo band Marquee Grand for the intro and outro music. On today's episode, we have Leslie Zemsky, Director of Fun in Larkinville. She shared a really good perspective on all of the history of Larkinville, what's to come for the future, and kind of how it all came about. We talked about the role of public art in economic development, which was really interesting, something I always find fascinating. I think it'll be a really good episode for you guys to enjoy. Thank you very much for listening. All right. Thank you very much for being on the pod, Leslie, and welcome.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I wanted to start probably where most people start with you, your title, Director of Fun. I found that so interesting when I read that. What does that mean to you?
Well, I laugh, and it does get a lot of reaction, and I've kept using it because of that, because it's a positive. So to me, it sends the message that we have a good time, the public's welcome, a lot of the events we plan, we want them to be fun. It's a place of recreation. Same thing with just the general Larkinville vibe. So to me, it means everybody's welcome.
Right. And so take us through a little bit of your vision for Larkinville and how it came to be.
Well, first of all, it wasn't just my vision. It's a lot of family and staff and partners. So it's really, the expression takes a village. It's definitely taken a village. And at this point now, it's other developers coming in, small businesses. So really the early visionary was my husband, Howard Zemsky, who started in 2002 and bought the Larkin Exchange building. And he had had a business there, Russer Foods, just down the street for, their family acquired that in around 1970. So he's very familiar with the neighborhood, but it's an area that had been neglected, and people just, the way they, now Larkinville, it was referred to, originally it was the Hydraulics District, Larkin District, things like that. It just wasn't on people's mind, or they weren't familiar with it. So he started to get the vision, we can bring a neighborhood back.
All right. And what was your guys' first sign of progress or a step, you know, dipping your foot in the water?
Well, when he bought the Larkin Exchange building, which is our 600,000 square foot, it was originally a warehouse. The trains pulled right through it for the Larkin Soap Company. The sign of progress was when tenants started to sign leases. So he did the less traditional method. A lot of times developers announce a project and then they wait until they have it half leased to begin construction. He said, if we do that, it's never going to happen. So he brought in a lot of interesting amenities. And to this day, I think our building is different from any other building in Buffalo in that it's like we have a little village on the first floor. So we have full food service. We have Key Bank branch, we have a hair salon, we have Zanger Printing Company, we have daycare, we have a Larkin taxi that takes people to downtown and other medical campus or close locations. So that's the sign was tenants started to take a chance with us on the neighborhood.
Right. And, you know, you mentioned the geography, a taxi to take people downtown. With some people that I've talked about, they said that when it was first starting, the location was thought to be a negative. It was too far away from downtown, and it would never get off the ground because there was this distance between. As I see it now, it almost stands as like a borough of Buffalo, and the fact that it's away from downtown almost stands as an oasis. It's almost an advantage to it, at least from my point of view. Is that something that you guys consciously thought of?
Well, it absolutely has flipped. And that's one of the reasons that Howard did the taxi. It was kind of a clever, fun thing. But he, at the time, there was the hospital, but it wasn't referred to as a medical campus. Canal Side was an empty lot. So it wasn't, what's going on now was not happening in 2002. He was really one of the first to see the beauty in these older warehouse buildings. So that whole movement hadn't started yet. And what I see now, people consciously call us. They're not interested in downtown because they want the vibe of Larkinville, but there's just a little bit more space. We have an abundance of parking, so that's a big feature for our events and for people who work down there.
So it started with the warehouse building. Now you have Larkin Square, a couple of restaurants down there. How did that all progress? And then even out to, I used to work in the 500 Seneca building, and it's, you know, it's, would you technically call that Larkinville?
Yes.
Maybe not.
I would, absolutely. And that's, when I say it takes a village, that's what's so exciting. When 500 Seneca and 550 Seneca, and now the old AMP warehouse building right next to there, is being renovated. So it's really a movement that, and it's like started with a little ripple, and now it's been a big wave. And so we, First Niagara was a key early partner, and now KeyBank is. As you know, KeyBank acquired First Niagara. And they, when they moved down in 2010, they said, how can we help continue to advance the neighborhood? So we had a neighborhood improvement fund that we did together. First Niagara paid for the majority of the streetscape improvements, something that's very unusual to be privately done and then deeded back to the city. And then the actual construction of Larkin Square, when we acquired that property, the bank paid for the construction, seeing it as a great amenity for their employees, but also as part of their commitment. And it's been neat to see KeyBank continuing that. They care about neighborhoods. So that's really how Larkinville started. It was just a nickname that happened at a press conference one day. And then we thought, all right, we have this really creative space. What are we going to do with it? And that's when we started just brainstorming. That's when I got involved in the company and my son, Harry Zemsky, in 2012. And the first thing I did was just reach out to a lot of different people who I didn't know before, including starting with Buffalo Place. How do you put on an event? We didn't know how to do any of this. How do you put on an event? How do you, you know, what are some market, different ideas? And meeting a lot of people, we came up with different ideas, and we started to assemble our own team. We knew we were going to have the filling station restaurant, but when it opened in 2012, people came down there. It was like the reaction, really, those first couple summers was, what is this place? Or I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. We heard from a lot of people who had young adult children living out of town. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till my son or my daughter comes home in July for their 1 week of vacation. I can't wait to bring them down here. We heard a lot of my parents or my grandparents, they worked at the Larkin Company, or a lot of history. People came out of the old First Ward or from that neighborhood. So that's when, and then our partnership with the food trucks. And Harry had came up with that idea the second summer. Why don't we invite the food trucks down? Let's create a little dinner vibe because we know we want to get into restaurants. So you have arts can change a neighborhood. You can have all different reasons that neighborhoods can change. The food truck economy or food truck economics, whatever you want to call it, has been incredible. And that really put the Larkinville name on the map. And that, I think, gave the confidence to the Savarinos to do 500 Seneca, Frontier, the 550. So seeing other developers come in has been really exciting.
Where did the inspiration for the Food Truck Tuesday idea come from? And now you're seeing it replicated so much in Buffalo and other parts of the neighborhood. And, you know, it's such a popular thing now. But where did you guys?
I credit Harry, my son, who came up. Texted me one night, oh, I have this idea. And the next day said, I'm always looking for a place to go outside in the summer. We have this amazing patio. Let's create a dinner vibe. And at that time, there were only 4 food trucks, I think. And we already worked with all of them because we were, from the beginning, we've always been about partnering and doing collaboration. So we would welcome the trucks to come to one of our other parking lots at lunchtime. And so since we had relationships with them, I said, okay, you reach out to the trucks. And he said, okay, if I can just get Lloyd or a couple of them to commit to the first couple weeks, then I think we'll be a go. And so we did that, and then maybe, I think it was rainy the first night, maybe 100 people came. Then the next week, we knew it was on to something, because then it was 250, 350. By July, the Buffalo News ran a story about what's this growing food truck, and then now it doesn't seem like that many, but maybe it was like 900 people were like, oh my gosh, where are we, you know, so we need more trucks. So more trucks were starting to come online in Buffalo, and then Harry started networking with trucks in Rochester, and that's one of the things that's made our event unique, is that the trucks also come from Rochester, so it's the only place that you can have such a variety. And now it's grown to the point, it's in its 5th year of, we added live music halfway through that first year. We just kept each week, all right, what do we need to change? What do we need to grow it? Committed to 6 full months. And it's been a great, we watched a lot of businesses grow. And as you know now, there's so many food trucks here and also in Rochester. So we can park 27 trucks, but Flying Bison Brewery, which also is now open since all this Larkinville development happened, they opened in 2014. So they'll have another 15 trucks. So there are many thousands of people there every Tuesday night. And there'll be at least 1,000 people there tonight for our what we started with at the very beginning, the KeyBank Live at Larkin, a music series on Wednesday nights.
Right. And your son, he also started Hydraulic Hearth, right? And what was the inspiration behind that, and, you know, what made him want to get involved?
So when Harry, we both started in 2012, he had graduated from the University of Vermont, and he'd been working at a sandwich shop that he loved in Burlington, stayed on for a year. And so he had an idea to open his own sandwich shop. So at the time, it happened, oh, we have this Larkin Square, and Howard had purchased an Airstream camper with the idea, oh, knowing that food trucks were a thing in other cities, he had a feeling it would become a bigger thing in Buffalo. So he said to Harry, would you like to try doing your concept in the Airstream? So he did that the first 2 years with Square One Sandwiches, and that's how he got involved in the event side too. And then the Hydraulic Hearth was the old Swan Lounge, so it was really a pretty dive-type bar. And when they were ready to sell, they came to Howard and said, okay, we're ready to sell. So we, like with a lot of our projects, we acquired the building before we knew exactly what we were going to do. And then when it felt right, which was when Harry was ready to move and to try something bigger, we said, do you want to try this, doing something there? And so then he took it and ran with it and came with the concept pizza partner. Again, a lot of partnerships. That's what he learned at over on the Larkin Square side. So he partners with Community Beer Works and brews there. And he's very creative on space, so with his beer garden and the shuffleboard courts and things like that. So that's become a nice destination in the neighborhood.
Right. You touched on art's role in Larkinville, and I want to talk about that. But I think first it's it makes sense to go with the history first, you know. Today in preparation, I watched a ton of videos on the Frank Lloyd Wright building that no longer is. Is that something that you, do you think about that often, and like what could have been if that was still standing?
Well, we're very inspired by the Larkin Soap Company, which that history is totally tied in with Frank Lloyd Wright. So as many listeners, you may know that Darwin Martin was the, I believe it was the secretary of the Larkin Soap Company, which in today's world, that would be the COO. Kind of a combination COO, CFO. So he was Wright's great patron, and all the Wright homes in Buffalo were Larkin Company executives. So for us, Larkin Development Group, we're very inspired by Larkin Company. They were so progressive at the time. They were marketing geniuses through Albert Hubbard, John Larkin's brother-in-law, and they also were great to their employees, which was reflected when ultimately they built the Larkin Administrative Building. And it's unfortunate that it came down, but first building with air conditioning, the concept of natural light for a lot of employees, just a lot of progressive things. They had a lot of after work activities, which fits what we're doing now with these after work activities. We purposely program things at 5 o'clock. So lots of people, and the majority of the people at our events are coming from somewhere else, but it means anyone who works down there, or if you live down there, you can conveniently just walk over or walk out of the office. So some of that is also an inspiration from the early history.
And now, you know, if you look at your website, or even if, you know, if you go to Larkinville, you have this feeling there's language like, you know, like whimsical and quirky and stuff like that. And there is that feeling to it. How did you take such a historic place and put a futuristic approach on it, or a whimsical approach on it? You know, that seems like such a tough tightrope to walk. How did you do that?
Yeah, because you don't want to become too goofy or cliche, which, so I know I like the tagline, whimsy amongst the warehouses, but some of that started with my husband, and he worked with Tim Thielman on the design, so great use of space. And then Howard had also been in the hotel business, so he had gone to a lot of hotel shows in South Beach, and so he was influenced by, like, our raised picnic shelter was inspired by a lifeguard stand, so he wanted things to be unexpected. And then that touch of, for me, when he asked if I would get involved, this was a whole unexpected career to be doing this the last 5 years. So I always loved hula hooping when I was little. So I said, all right, let's do hula hoops. And it's kind of, and we have such a great team of people who work with us. So we're open to ideas and just having fresh flowers all over. We had someone visiting from New York who's an urban planner the other day walking through, and they said they've seen so many parking lots. That was the ultimate compliment. Our parking lot was the most beautiful that they'd ever seen because there are no stripes. It has flowers. It's beautifully landscaped. So we just wanted to do something a little bit different. And now that we've gotten a taste of that and kind of learning concepts of placemaking, that's where Harry put in the shuffleboard courts. Then we have our Larkin Links. That was another idea of Harry's. And then we just seem to partner well on these things. Our artist designed mini golf course, and we just leave golf clubs and balls out to play. We have pickleball courts in Larkin Square. We just leave paddles out free to play. So in any way that we can make things free, that's what we like to do too.
Right. And what about some of the public art that you have installed, or even just like the choices of chairs that are laying out? There's always bright colors, and you know, there is this this creative and artistic vibe down there. You know, like, why do that? I know that you're an artist yourself. Is it inspired by yourself, or?
Yes, I think it's inspired again by our whole team, but absolutely. I was, before I did this as a volunteer, I was head of the board of the Albright Knox, so exposed to a lot of public art all over the country. And one of my favorite aspects of this tenure right now with the Albright Knox is their public art program. So I like public art that engages people, makes you smile. So that fits, it kind of fits the personality of our family too. And so that's how the mini golf, each hole is designed by a different artist. So that's our Larkin version, I say, of public art. Our diner that we're doing, so that's our next project that will open in just in September of this year. It's a 1937 era diner that when Howard went to buy the Airstream from a little city called, a town, Newark, New York, near Rochester, there was a delay. The owner of the Airstream was late for the meeting, and so Tim Thielen was with him. He said, let's go to this diner. I think there's a really cool diner here. They walked in the diner, and it was meant to be. There's a for sale sign. Took a couple years. Howard was going to buy it. Then the person wasn't ready. Then he called him back 2 years later. Hey, would you still buy it? And he said, okay. And then, like a lot of our projects, we parked it because we didn't know what we would do. And then when it felt right, some of it we go on an instinct. And so we've been working on the diner for restoring it for the last 2 years. And I was just meeting today with last night and today with someone who's going to help us with some graphics on the exterior of the addition that's a kitchen. Well, I did the wallpaper inside the hydraulic hearth, and actually Harry's new business, Angelica Tea Room, I did wallpaper there. So I've done wallpaper for the diner, but this time I invited other artists to join me. So we did 9-inch plates that were made by Niagara China, or that is a model. And I said, just do whatever you want on a plate. And so I'm making a wallpaper that will look like plates on the wall. Well, now we're going to bring the wallpaper outside. So we're going to blow up these plates, and they will be on the walls of the back of the diner. And then we're going to have, it's going to be a wow when you see this wallpaper when you walk mm-hmm. into the restrooms and the little vestibule area. But the diner itself is like a piece of art. So it will be a viable business. But it also is, in my mind, this is our inversion of public art, too.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the filling station used to be a gas station? You know, like, there's creative projects like that in everything. It does feel like you're always surrounded by something art-inspired, even if, you know, it is a viable business. It's a great restaurant. I've eaten there. Delicious. But, you know, even that feels like something artistic.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad you feel that way. So that's it was a 1930s era filling station from the Larkin Soap Company. And Kevin Perrin is our head chef. He does a fabulous job. So that's open for lunch. So again, great tenant amenity, but also people enjoy, which we're so glad, come from the community, eat there. And then now we've opened up the square that you could have a wedding there, a private event. A lot of companies have had events there. So then it's our catering arm for that. But you're right. We, again, kept it very cheerful, and then we wanted to be sure that it was a scratch-made menu, and we have a little herb garden now this year. Next to it, I have a little Zen garden with sand. You know, just doing quirky little things.
Now, is your office down there?
Yeah, so my office is on the first floor of the Larkin Exchange building. People can recognize it because it's bright green walls right across from the KeyBank branch. And my daughter, Kayla Zemski, just moved back to Buffalo in November and has joined our company. So we are sharing an office, and my door is almost always open. So I like people. I've gotten to know the neighbors, the residents who lived there far before we started doing our things in 2002. So that's a part of, maybe it's that director of fun, but if I'm down there working, I don't want to be away somewhere on another floor. I want to be right there, accessible.
Right. Now, if you and I were to go to Larkin Square right now, which of the activities would I have the best chance at beating you at?
Well, definitely not hula hooping, because
I'm not a good hula hooper. mini golf?
I'm going to go. Some of those holes are really, just because they're mini holes doesn't mean that they aren't challenging. So, yes, I think you'd have a decent chance of that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to play mini golf sometime then. We have a little blizzard round for you. We call it a blizzard round, basically a lightning round to end on. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Well, I just had a dish of mint chocolate chip the other day, so I'm going for that.
Really? I think you're the second person that said mint chocolate chip. Text or phone call?
Text.
Bills or Sabres?
Sabres.
Hiking or skiing?
Well, I used to ski all the time, but now I don't so much, so I'm going for hiking these days.
Hiking. And chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
I know, they're both good. I'm going for drumstick.
So you seem kind of undecided, though. Yeah. You like both?
They're both good.
See, I'm a hardline drumstick guy. All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, guys. That was Bell Ringer. That was my conversation with Leslie Zemski, Director of Fun in Larkinville. Go check out our website at buffaloniagara.org. Most importantly, go rate us on iTunes. And as always, look forward to the next episodes. Next one will be in 2 weeks with Doug Dimitroff, partner at Phillips Lytle. And I think that's it, guys. Thank you. Bye.